broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
The Royals announced Prince Harry's diverse engagement, and we're here for it. We share our thoughts on the OC reunion part 2. Billy Bush makes a return for TV. Is he forgiven at this point? And we admire Kelly Clarkson. That and more with Anastasia Casimir right here. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from Anastasia Casimir, model and host, Grant's Rants returnee. Hello, Anastasia.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hey. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's been more than a minute.
Yes, 2 years.
Yes, 2 years, almost to the day. You were the first in-between Thanksgiving and Christmas episode co-host from episode 14. We're now on 77.
Wow. So proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I know it's a miracle that we just keep going.
Yes.
But here we are, and it's exactly 2 years, so it's like we need to make this a tradition, hopefully, with the rants.
I know. Sooner, like every year now. Yeah. Or every 6 months or something.
Yes. More often. I know, for sure. So it's so good to have you back. I know that you're so into these royals, so we're going to talk about that and more on the show.
Okay, good. I am.
Let's talk about it. Let's get right into it. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, is that how you say her name?
Yes.
So they made their first public appearance post-engagement. And what are your thoughts?
Okay, well, let me just backtrack. So I've been following Meghan Markle since Suits. I was a huge Suits fan. And I followed through a few seasons. And I actually wasn't super fond of her on Suits. Have you ever seen Suits?
No, I missed that train.
Okay, well, she kind of had a meek character on Suits. So I'm always like, oh, come on, Rachel. That was her character name. So just naturally, like, seeing her as a character, it kind of like bleeds into her personality. And then when I saw that she kind of started dating, like, I was never that interested, but then when she started dating Prince Harry, it kind of started gaining more of an interest because, first of all, she is the first American princess from what I've read, that's marrying into the royal family. So that's interesting. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, now I'm really interested because what is it about her that, you know, he would kind of go away from dating, you know, British people are traditional. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, isn't he like a former playboy anyway?
He is. Yeah. He's
so what the bad made boy. It about yeah. her? You know, what does she have that was so different? Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, now I'm starting to gain more of an interest and I'm starting to like really get to know her as a person more, just from obviously what I read online, other than the character that she plays on Suits. And the more I learn about her, the more I do love her. I love just pointing out the obvious that she is diverse. And I think it's really cool because it's, you know, so traditional for them to marry within, you know, their construct and their culture and their race. And any form of progress in any culture is just like a win for me. So I think that part's like really amazing. I think, and also like I'm half African American too. And so there's just that sense of like relating, you know, to that and, you know, this interracial relationship that seems really interesting.
Yeah. It's a great thing.
Yeah. And there's some other interesting things too. So she's 36, I believe, 36 or 37. So like in my heart, just being a female, I'm thinking like, oh, she had probably like given up on love and she's like, it's all over. And then like just when I don't know, she could have been dating, but like just when she had given up, like she marries a prince or she's going to marry a prince and now she's and like her whole life is going to change.
Her whole life is really going to change. Wasn't she born in Compton? Isn't she from?
She is from Los Angeles. I can't remember what part.
Yeah, Wendy Williams talks about her. I think it's Crenshaw. I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's
somewhere.
Like, it's somewhere in South LA because she's always like, get married and get a kid. You got to get that. You have to get insurance on that relationship.
I know. She definitely has some street cred. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to just kind of see what unfolds. And I'm sure she's receiving a lot of pressure too from, you know, that culture of just,
Do you think she's media trained?
I do. Wait, did you watch the interview?
I did.
Okay.
I watched the full interview. What was it, with Harper's Bazaar or whatever?
Yes. One of those. It was like the first interview they did together. And that was completely like, it was so full of like BS.
It was very measured with when she would look at him and when they would interact and then when she would carefully explain point by point. And like he would let her say certain things and he would fill in the blanks with his little moments.
Right. You know? He seemed more natural because I'm sure he gets interviewed all the time. And I know she does too as an actress, but she seemed like, I don't know, too politically correct in that interview and too like, her little chumminess.
The good wife,
it was so annoying. It was really annoying.
Yeah.
Now, they made a big deal about them hand-holding
yes.
at this event. Now, what does that mean? Why is that such a big deal?
I read the article about the etiquette of it, and I guess there's no official rule whether it's appropriate or not appropriate, but the Queen Elizabeth doesn't do it, and Kate Middleton and Prince William don't do it. So I guess they're just comparing it to the other couples. Mm. But there was a lot of positive too, because people said that they could relate to them as a couple, you know, being in love and showing PDA and
yeah.
all that good stuff.
That whole thing is so stuck in a different century and time that something like that handhold is so progressive. It just shows like how like out of whack it all is.
I know. And I'm just like, everything she does now is going to be under the radar. And I don't know if you know this, but she was also married before.
Did not know that.
Okay. So this is going to be interesting then. So she was married, I think it was like, I might mess up the dates, but I think 2011 to 2013, she was married to an Emmy Award winning lighting producer, and they were married for 2 years. And so she is technically a divorcee. And this might just be through the rumor mill, but apparently the Queen believes that marriage is forever. So she might not even attend the wedding since she's a divorcee. Oh. Also, her ex-husband is still producing, and he is now producing a show for Comedy Central that is about divorce, or well, basically like their life. So about a woman that leaves him or this main character to be with a royal prince.
Oh, someone's going to get over it. Yes. I mean, I guess he's going to capitalize on that, but it's not a good look.
Right.
I mean, go find someone else.
I know. It's just so, yeah, it's kind of bitter. Right?
Not a good look.
No.
No.
And then the other hater in this whole situation is she has a half-sister. And her half-sister is writing a tell-all book talking about how Meghan changed since she started dating. Because they started dating, I think, over a year ago now.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half, they said. Yeah.
So she started saying that she's been different ever since they started dating. And so now apparently she's going to write a tell-all.
Of course.
Right.
There's always some grabber in the situation.
Right.
And not to knock all Americans, but I'm not surprised that someone from the States, and someone's trying to capitalize on this, and greed and jealousy. And
totally. But I just think of her ex, too, and I'm like, man, you guys divorced, and now she's going to be a princess.
I know.
It's like ultimate revenge or something.
It's proof that you really can't predict your life. Like, she was married and set, and no one would ever be able to convince her otherwise that she would be living in, you know, Buckingham Palace or wherever they're going to be. But I mean, unbelievable how life takes turns, especially for her.
Totally.
Crazy. So they said in that interview that he proposed while they were roasting chicken by themselves. And they're set to marry in May 2018 or 2019?
It's May 2018, and Damn. They are televising the wedding, so everyone can watch it.
Well, they better get to work. May 2018 isn't too far.
I know.
Like, that's real soon.
I know. It's going to be interesting.
Wow. I thought for sure it'd be like 2 years. That way they can just like really pick. I mean, they got to get to work today, especially if they're going to make a televised wedding.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the good thing is they'll have everybody doing everything for them. But I feel like part of it could be for her too. I mean, she's 36, 37. So she's going to start having kids soon.
Yeah.
And he's 3 years younger than her, which is also kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. I always liked him. I feel like he's the only one that I have any knowledge of. I don't really know the other one, William.
Yeah, me neither. I guess I only have knowledge because he's the younger one. And like you said, the Playboy.
Yeah, like the photos. And it wasn't Lindsay trying to get in with him for a while.
Yeah.
I can only hope.
I can only imagine how that, like, I wonder how that setup went. They talked about that in the interview too, right? That a friend set them up.
Yeah.
And then they both tried to play. I mean, maybe he didn't know who she was, but then she tried to play like she didn't really know much about him.
Yeah, she's like, well, I only knew through things through tabloids, but it wasn't really on my radar. I didn't know really anything.
What about when she said, is he kind? Did you hear that part?
No.
She asked her friend, she goes, well, is he kind? And I'm like, you would have went out with him whether he was kind or not. He's the freaking prince.
Oh, I remember.
Do you remember that part?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you would have went regardless.
Good for her for not crashing on a date and, you know, walking in a, like, say, quote, a blind date and then seeing him. I mean, everyone in the world knows, especially girls in your age bracket or, you know, in that realm. I mean, they know who the royal family is.
Right.
So walking in, good for her for not crashing, because I would have been, like, you know, thrown off.
I know.
You know, how do you make a good date out of that when you're like, wait, hold on.
Right.
You know, so good for her, I guess.
Yeah, I'm happy
It'll be nice. And now I thought we were going to have to hear about the Olympics. Forget that. Now we're going to have to hear about this wedding.
This wedding. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, overall, I think I'm just happy for the progression. There's number one, an American marrying into this family now. And there's some culture. There's some African-American marrying into there. So that's awesome. That's a win.
It's definitely a win. Let's talk about OC Housewives. A loss, I will say.
Yes.
Real Housewives of OC Reunion Part 2. I had the job of recapping the show over at AfterBuzz until 2 weeks ago when I left to take another opportunity. And I really didn't get the opportunity to share my final thoughts on Reunion Part 2. Suffered through this one. like all the others, it's tough. This was really tough, and it didn't give me... It didn't give me much. I was glad to see it go. Let's do a mini recap of the big highlights. Shannon is being reactive and in denial most of the season, as they surmised.
Right.
True. And all the women seem over Peggy. I was over Peggy week five.
Like the first episode, I was over Peggy.
You're not into her at all?
No. I mean, she was kind of interesting because of the money. And I love the Flash, but I could tell right away, like, I was going to be over her.
Well, they didn't connect her from, like, the majority of the episodes with anyone. It was her and her husband in their bedroom, her and the husband in the kitchen, her and her husband in the garage.
So but it was partially her, too. I feel like she didn't have a connectable personality.
Oh, yeah. I think she's a total fail cast.
How did they cast? Like, what did she give them that they wanted to cast her?
I have no idea. They gave her way too much credit, I think, in the reunion with Tamara bowing down to her and all this. I mean,
right?
She thinks she's something, but she isn't. I just don't see it with her whatsoever.
No, I didn't have that connection with her. I wanted to like her. I did, because I was like, okay, an Armenian, cool, like some blend in here.
Different.
But yeah.
So Kelly Dodd, though, is someone I'm cool with. How do you feel about Kelly at this point?
You said you're cool with her?
Yeah.
I like Kelly. I feel like you and I have talked about this in the past, that we kind of like the people that ruffle the... like, at first, you hate them, but then you're like, I kind of like you now.
Yeah.
I like her now. I feel like the thing with Kelly is that she definitely gets turned up, but she's, like, always herself. And there's something about her that I'm just like, I want to love her.
Yeah, I was just... The only thing I will say, a critical point to her, is I was sick of all of the apologizing. Like, she would say the most horrible things and then go right in and be like, well, I really didn't mean it. And it was just in the heat of the moment. Like, you know, if you're going to say it, you have to own it to a degree. Maybe not everything, but I feel like she has apologized for every single thing. It gets tiring. You know, if just own being a bitch.
Yeah, right?
I mean, that's why you're on the show.
Exactly. I mean, I like her because she's super honest, too, like with her whole relationship with her husband and stuff. And just being like open about that is really cool to see her vulnerable. But I think that a lot of that stemmed from the hurt in her relationship, too. Just her going off and saying the most hurtful things. It's usually always coming from somewhere. But yeah, I mean, like, she was going to the core, like saying the meanest things. And you're right, like instantly apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
So
Megan is pregnant. Okay.
Megan annoyed me this season.
Are we done with Megan, though, on the show?
Like, I don't think we're done with Megan. I think she likes being on the show.
I'm
done. You're done with her?
Yeah.
Wait, I did some research. I don't know if you knew this. You might have talked about this on AfterBuzz, but did you know that she had her own net worth before she met her husband?
Didn't she work in some...
Like medical sales.
Yeah, medical sales.
Yeah, I think she had a net worth of like $5 million. She'd already been living that high life, like flying private jets and all this stuff. So after... I don't know... I know what I did. I researched why her husband was always traveling, because I knew he was retired. And I guess I forgot what he did that they had mentioned in the show. And that's when I saw that she had her own kind of...
What does he do again?
He's a sports host or something.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm like, why is he always gone?
Yeah, good
point. If he's retired.
Yeah, good point.
So then I kind of had more respect for her. I was like, okay, this girl can hustle and she can work. But I think she'll be back. Why are you over her?
Well, the show's really thrown off, and they need to recast, and she's the least of the problems of what they need to do there. But I feel like there's nothing else to tell. She's the young mom. Her storyline was that she was a new wife and she wanted to be a mom. And then we saw them trying for baby, having baby. like, all right, we kind of have told the story, I think, with her.
Okay.
I mean, I'm okay with her. I mean, like I said, least of the problems is Meghan King Edmonds. But I need them to kind of turn the show on its head. And if she is a casualty, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Okay. I see your angle.
That's my point. Yeah. I see it. So what else? Vicky admits that Tamra was right for protecting her against Brooks, finally, years after the fact. But okay. I guess that's what Tamra wanted to hear.
So. I'm like, the whole Vicky Tamra thing, I'm really so done with that. Especially after watching the reunion and the hug at the end and just their back and forth relationship, which, by the way, I wanted to tell you that I got to meet Vicky this year. So I went to an NBC event around Halloween, and she was doing a signing, and what's her boyfriend's name? Steve?
Steve.
Yeah, he was there too. But I was like freaking out. I was so excited. Vicky's like always going to be one of my favorites. She's the OG.
I heard though that she's not the greatest person. I haven't heard many.
She was super nice when I met her. It was quick. Like, we just did a quick photo, and I told her I love the show. I was a huge fan of hers, of course. And she was like, "Oh, it's so silly, right?" So I'm like, "Does that mean it's fake?"
Yeah.
But yeah, she was pretty cool. Like, everybody really liked her, and it was a smaller, intimate event. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
I would love to have that interaction. I need a photo with her. You know what I mean? She's the OG.
I know.
So whether you love her or hate her, I mean, you have to respect the fact that she's the beginning of it all.
You do.
And she's still going. I mean, she's still playing the game. They talk about game playing though. Tamra called her a liar and that nothing looks good on her. And then Vicky stormed off and she's done with the effing show. And then they come back and they won't hurt each other anymore. They come to these agreements. And then she says that she sent Tamra a video behind the scenes of Lucy and Ethel laughing or trying to apologize or whatever. And then after that, they make up. And then Tamra has with her these BFF bracelets from years past. That's how I knew this was all set up and fake.
Right.
Why would you bring those with you if you knew you were just going to fight with the person? And if you didn't plan on fighting with the person, then why did you? Like, it's all for the show.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, there's no way these girls can keep having this rivalry throughout all these seasons.
Nope. And I said mid-season, because the show obviously is taped months prior before the air, I said mid-season, if Tamra knew how fans feel about her having to get back with Vicky to save the show, basically, at this point, she would do it, even if she just had to fake it, because that's the popular thing to do. So what did they do? They devised it all. She got a few points in, some yelling, and then made it all up.
I know. I can't go another round with those two.
Done.
On the next season, like, I cannot.
Yeah. I watched it twice. The first time I watched it, I thought it was very fake.
Right.
And then I watched it the second time, and I was like, all right, well, you have to take into account editing. Maybe it didn't happen as quickly as we thought, as we were told, you know, shown through editing. I don't know. I don't care. I'm done. Aussie needs to go to sleep for a while. We'll see what happens coming up.
What about Tamra and her daughter?
Oh, well, I mean, that's her own doing.
Yeah.
And I knew it was. I was dying to hear what they were going to say. Two things. I was dying to see how that was going to play out. I'm surprised that Tamra did take such ownership of it. And I wanted them to address all season. I didn't think we have to wait to the reunion, but I wanted to see what Vicky did to Tamra after Iceland that made them fall out and have so much horrible press and tweets and articles just ripping each other apart. I wanted to know what it was. And I guess it was more about Eddie's sexuality, and Vicky had a friend that had a blog about him being gay, and then she asked him to take it down.
I kind of feel like that stuff is made up too.
Like, what? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I feel like that's just like a topic that they were like, okay, go ahead, use this so we can create some drama.
No, you're married.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? You know, that rumor, would that tear you apart like that if there was a rumor about your husband?
The way that the way that Tamra and Vicky were going at it over that?
Yeah.
First of all, I couldn't see a friend or even like a photo. Like, I just couldn't see someone bringing up that topic. And even if they did, I don't think it would tear me down. Like, I wouldn't care. I don't know, like the heightenedness of like their anger towards each other through that comment or through, you know, whatever, that accusation, I just felt like it was too much. Like, it didn't fit the
crime. If she's married to him and she knows he's not, then what the hell does she have to make a big deal about it for?
Just
let it die.
Right.
She didn't do it.
No, that's why I kind of thought it was like a made up, like, let's just go at it over this.
Yeah.
I just needed to, I mean, we haven't talked about the Housewives together, but Shannon the entire season bugged the crap out of me.
A lot of people.
I know.
Yeah. She was hard to defend. I like her. So it was getting hard, you know.
You do like her.
I do.
What do you like about her?
I like that she's so real. And I feel for her in a way. Like, I can see that she's in a lot of pain. Yeah, but I mean, it was hard to defend, you know, the way. But I see, I also really don't like Lydia, so much so that I'm always going to take Shannon's side. So
you don't like Lydia?
No, not at all.
What didn't you like about Lydia?
Oh, everything. She has no business being on the show. She's just there for the magazine. She doesn't contribute. She didn't do anything for me the first time. She has no storyline. I can't.
Okay. I liked Shannon. I liked Shannon at the end of the reunion when she got super vulnerable and honest. But I couldn't the whole season. I mean, obviously, I've been saying that was coming from a lot of hurt too with her relationship with her husband. But I could be done with Shannon. Too reactive for me.
Well, this reunion was interesting because I wonder if she didn't leave David / they didn't make up, what they would do next season.
Right.
If it was just more of the same. And I think they all know that they had to make up in order to solidify the cast for next season. Like, I think they had to.
Right. It's like a curse with the Housewives. I was just thinking how many of them go through divorce.
Oh, yeah. Many.
All of them.
Many. So, but like I said, on many different platforms, I'm glad that they have peace between the two of them.
Absolutely.
And that's it. So it'll be interesting. Next season will be good. I predict whether Vicky's friends with whomever, I don't care. But to see a single Shannon and a single Kelly will be
single
good.
Kelly is going to be so good.
She's so checked out of that relationship anyway. She's like ready. She just wants to shed the ring and then she's just going to go all in.
Yes, I'm so ready to see that.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Well, OC, buzz you later. So let's take a turn and look at Billy Bush, someone who was taken down by Trump, the world of Trump, the world that we live in with media and press. And it seems like a million years ago because there's been several hundred men taken down between him and now.
Yes.
So is it safe? He's going to be on Stephen Colbert on Monday. We're taping the show on Saturday, December 2nd. So we have not seen the show as of press time, but he's coming back. It's his first late night appearance post Today Show.
Wow.
So I don't know. How do you feel about this? Too soon? About time? What do you think?
No, I don't think it's too soon. I think, I guess I'm more on the side of it's about time. Just to see what he has to say. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Especially with everything else that's going on now. Like you said, it's definitely not watered down, but now it's like with all the other huge accusations, it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, his perspective both now.
2 points. It's a very safe space to go on a late night show like that. Also, Colbert is obviously very liberal and left, so you know, they're not going to rake him over the coals like they would on Fox News or whatever. I feel like, or, you know, just conservatives, I should say. Conservatives would be just like so upset with him still. So I think he's doing that safely to go do that. Also, Nick, you said not to downplay what happened, but he fed into Trump's words and kind of endorsed them in his own way. But now, from last year to now, we're seeing people go to such extremes and sexual predators and all these things that it almost makes what he did look so minimal.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure that's the point they'll make on Colbert. I mean, at this point, are people ready to forgive him? I think so. Just put him back on a radio show and have him creep his way. You know what it is in this business? The minute he makes money, he'll be fine. For someone, some network, some group, if he's profitable, you'll see him. Mel Gibson's back, unfortunately.
Do you think... I'm sorry, what did you say again?
I said Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So the minute he makes
Paula
money...
Dean's back.
Yeah. Kathy Griffin, she'll be back too. I would give her... Maybe she might need a little longer because she doesn't have a network behind her, but I say give her about 10 months.
Yeah. I mean, with him, it was words, right? So words are words. Like, people can come back from things that they say, but all the rest of these accusations we're hearing about that are physical abuse, assault.
Severe.
Like,
yeah. like multiples, like, you know, like, let's not forget Donald Trump has 16 allegations against him.
Wow. I didn't know that number was that high, actually.
Yeah. No joke. So, Billy Bush, I guess it's not that bad after all. Interesting. Matt Lauer actually announced Billy Bush's exit from the show not too long ago.
Dirty.
Yeah, so dirty. So Billy lost his job in 2016 for comments he made in 2005. And I think that's worth noting, like, how awful would it be, like, worst nightmare to have comments from 2005, 11 years prior, creep up and ruin your life.
I know. And that's the thing. It's like, you're a different person by... Yeah.
I don't want to defend Billy Bush, but I'm just saying in the grand scheme of life and what we're dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, we've all said things that we're probably not proud of or ashamed of. Right.
Right.
And back at the time, Trump wasn't who he is now. I mean, it was still bad, yeah. Like what he said. I don't want to
Well, Hollywood Reporter thinks that Colbert will press Billy Bush on the Lauer exit. Mm-hmm. And that'll be interesting. I think they'll definitely ask him. I hope that Billy Bush, like, what does he really have to lose? I think people would really appreciate it if he went on and was really honest and was like, what the hell happened? Why am I being ostracized by this business and this one sitting over there with 16 allegations running the world?
Right.
I hope he's really honest. What does he have to lose?
Right.
Be real.
Hopefully that's what's coming. I mean, he could be media trained too.
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking.
Probably. He probably has assembled a team, like a crisis management. Right. And, oh, I don't know. I just say be completely real. Who cares?
Yeah. Just come out with it.
Yeah. So let's talk about Kelly Clarkson to mix things up. I never talked about her on the show, but I've come to really like her, believe it or not.
What do you like about her? I don't like her. I'm just wondering, like, what are these things?
Well, she was not on my radar for so long, but she's with this new album that she put out. I don't know. I just think she's putting out a good message. And I'm excited for her to be on The Voice. I listened to The Meaning of Life, her album, as a recommendation through longtime listener of this show, Brittany Parker. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a listen. And I actually kind of like the album. I don't know. Have you heard it yet?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty upbeat.
But
it's
good. Like Kelly Clarkson as an artist. So.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have any expectations. But I will say, like, they were catchy. It wasn't like one good song and four, like, tired ballads. You know what I mean? Like, it was pretty good. So I'm okay with her. And I like that she's, you know, just fully herself and so comfortable in her own skin.
I do like that part of her.
Refreshing.
Right.
She accepted a Powerhouse Award at the, what is this? It's Powerhouse Award. 2017 Billboard Women in Music. Okay, well, that's still good, but okay. And so at the award ceremony, she revealed that she was robbed while she was away and only materialistic items were taken, but they did go into her children's room. So that's creepy.
That is creepy. I can't believe people are still robbing celebrities.
I know. That feels like so like 2000.
Yeah, it's so bling ring.
Yeah. 2007 at most.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that's still a thing. And that was a big problem for a while. I guess people are still doing it. But she said in a quote, she said, other than the little hiccup, everything has been really great in our lives and we're very blessed and grateful. Even in that scenario, we were in the house, which is a blessing. So I just like, I would complain and threaten like that robber and I would be so pissed, but I give her a lot of credit for having so much grace and just being so thankful for everything in her life.
Right. I want to be like that. She has a great outlook.
Such a good outlook.
I need to learn from that. Oh my gosh, I need to like rethink about all the stuff that I have attachment to in my home.
Yeah, she's like, no big deal. They were at my kid's room. They took some things. I mean, I can imagine they probably took things that meant something, obviously.
I always feel like people, well, I mean, I guess it's different for celebrities, but people that rob homes, it's like they usually know the person or there's a connection.
Mm-hmm. Like all the Chris Brown ones. Like, yeah. Those are all inside jobs.
Yeah.
Well, I like her. I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give the album another listen. Probably when I'm traveling. So.
I need to do that too.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I will say, check it out. So, when we return to the podcast, we're gonna be talking more with Anastasia, catching up with her. If you listened to episode 14 way back when, we learned that she was in the Bay Area. She was modeling. She was in a couple commercials, and she was really acclimating herself to living in San Francisco, San Jose. So we're gonna talk more. Get a full update 2 years later and more. In a moment. Now this. Hey guys, it's Grant, and I recently switched from an electric razor over to Harry's. Harry's provides razors that are sent right to you, or if you wanted to gift it to that recipient. And, you know, what I like about Harry's is I always struggle with the rare jawline most guys do when they shave, and for me, it's very smooth, and it works with Harry's. I have to say, I can't get it with an electric razor, and that was the ultimate test for me with Harry's, and I have to say it works. So I do recommend it. I think it's a good, thoughtful, practical gift, as we're giving gifts around the holidays for really any guy. So I would take a look at it. It's there's five blades on the razor. They're made in Germany. You know, European stuff is usually pretty solid. And this, it's on a flex hinge, which is really helpful. And it's a good steady handle. This handle has weight. It's not like the cheap plastic ones you'd get. You know, they fall all over the place and you shake your hand with them. These are solid. And you can even get them engraved if you wanted to. So find out why over 3 million guys have switched over to Harry's. And now I'm one of them. So, you know, it's not just a razor. You can give it, like I said, as a gift. So there's a blade cartridge, foaming gel, which is really nice. This is not stuff out of a can, people. This is really nice. And, you know, you can even personalize with engraving. Now that's how you know it's a nice gift. You know, really fancy. Do it up. So gift sets start at $10. And, you know, that's really great if you're looking to give someone a gift that is thoughtful and useful, which I always try to do. So as a special offer for fans of this show, I've partnered with Harry's, and you can get $5 off your order when you go to harrys.com/grantsrants. And that's a holiday offer, kids. So check it out. You know, well, all I can say is this holiday, give Harry's and give handsome. Get your holiday shopping done early and take advantage of free shipping. To get a limited edition holiday shave set while supplies last, go to harrys.com/grantsrants right now. That's harrys.com/grantsrants.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Anastasia Kasmer, back at Grant's Rants.
Yes.
Welcome back. Let's talk about what you've been up to. I want to know everything. I purposely saved the conversation for the podcast, so I'm going to be hearing it for the first time.
I know. Okay, so like you said, it was 2 years ago since last time I was here, and so much has changed. The first thing is I'm married. Was I Kasmer?
You were married.
Yes. Oh, I was Kasmer?
Yes.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I just celebrated my... Okay.
Because you had just moved.
It must have been... Yeah. I just celebrated my two-year anniversary, September 26th of this year. And you're right. And I did move and I was visiting. Okay. So now I remember. So I'm married. I have no kids. Husband and I were living in the Bay Area for 2 years. We initially moved up there because he had a job. And so I left my Hollywood life. I think when I left, I was still doing, I left NBC, left AfterBuzz, and I was starting to do more of like the acting modeling thing. And I continued to do that in the Bay Area. So I got an agent in San Francisco. And, we talked about this last time. So it was really great. The industry is great in the Bay Area because it's smaller. And so there was less competition, there was more opportunities to book, and I actually started venturing out more into the modeling than acting. There wasn't as many projects. There was a few commercials up there. They filmed 13 Reasons Why up there. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that on
Netflix?
I didn't
watch it, but I know all about it.
Oh, you didn't watch it. Wow. So I auditioned for that.
I'm the one person left who hasn't seen it yet.
I know. Binge watch over the holidays. I didn't really like it. But
did you work on that?
No, I auditioned for it.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there's always like background work going on. I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I did audition for it, but I didn't book it. Okay, what else have I been up to? The first year that we moved up there, we moved to San Jose. And when we got up there, it was such a slow city. I'm sorry if anyone that's listening lives in San Jose, but it was so slow compared to LA that we just kind of shut down. Our lifestyle totally changed. Like we were going out to like the movies and dinner, everything like that was it. Like no social life really. Mm-hmm. And then so the second year we were like, we have to get out of here and move to the city, go to San Francisco. And that honestly had always kind of been a dream of mine because LA is a city, of course, but it doesn't give you like the New York City vibes, like with the skyscrapers, unless maybe you live downtown. So we're like, let's go get that out of our system. Moved into a really nice high-rise condo with a great view. And we still didn't like it. Even with all of that, like, you know, paying it, first of all, it was super expensive. The rent was.
Especially a high-rise condo in San Francisco.
I know. I mean, it was like our choice to do it big. But compared to here, I think it's actually the number three most expensive place per square foot. So I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's like Hong Kong, London, or London, Hong Kong, and then San Francisco or something. It's just.
You're right.
And the culture is totally different there. I mean, it's all tech. It's all work all the time. And I feel like LA is like work hard, play hard. So people work really hard in LA, but there's always something going on. There's an event. There's something social. People are really enjoying their lives. And we did not have that in the Bay Area. Like, we made really great friends, but yeah, it was time to go. So. Work was good for me. While I was up there, I started working at a startup, and I still work for the startup. My last day will be December 10th, but I worked there for a year, and that was something completely new to me. It's an Israeli startup. I had the opportunity to go to Israel and see the startup, which was really cool.
What do they do?
So it's a luxury high-end scooter company. So think of like a Vespa and like an electric Razor scooter. So it's kind of an in-between. And their goal was basically to be the Apple of electric scooters, or like the Tesla of electric scooters. So that kind of like high-end, mid-range, but something that everybody wants. And so that was an interesting experience. The product never actually launched. It's still kind of in the what is it called with Tesla? The pre-order. It was in a pre-order phase. So yeah, so that was interesting. And through that experience, though, I realized how much I actually missed working full time. So that it, what was good about the startup was that they allowed me to like book jobs and stuff, so I could kind of do both. But now coming back to LA, we came back a month ago and we planted ourselves in Venice, which is totally new. Last time I left, I was in Hollywood, West Hollywood, Miracle Mile. And so living on the West Side is totally different for me, but I like it. Like getting older now, like in my late 20s, I feel like it's kind of like our vibe.
Yeah. Oh, and it's perfect. I think it's perfect for you.
Yeah. And
I love going over there. I can't get over there enough. When I do, I walk like the whole thing. Like, I love it.
That's what I love about it. I love being – I never really considered myself a beach person, but I do like being close to the water. And Venice has a really cool culture now. So I read somewhere it's called the creative soul of Los Angeles. And so obviously like gentrification is happening there, which is, you know, sad in some ways. But it's also a cool blend because Google and Snapchat are there now. And so there's like the trendy restaurants and the bars, but it still has like the grit of like old school Venice. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Like, I don't want, like, Santa Monica is beautiful. Feels like kind of touristy. It's super clean. But I kind of like that mix of like that grit and griminess. Grit,
yeah. Yeah. City by the beach.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's been good. We've been in our place for a month. We love it. We're still decorating. It's older, very different from the high rise condo that we had. And now things for me are going into 2018 is going to, I guess, be a rebrand for myself. Cause I don't, I mean, I have an idea of where I want to go next. I think I would like to work in luxury travel. My experience is in entertainment and now a little bit of tech. I don't know that I necessarily want to get back into entertainment. Ironically, my husband is getting more into entertainment. So he went from tech and is now moving into entertainment, but I don't know. We'll see what's next. There's so many tech companies that are kind of booming up. And I guess now that I'm older, I'm just like, oh, I want to make money.
Yeah, and going
entertainment
the money
is kind of.
That's the thing. I know. And it's tough when you're in entertainment for so long and you realize you're not qualified to do anything else and you're hitting 30 and it's and it can be scary. So, yeah, go where the money is. Don't bother. Yeah.
And then I have a San Diego agent, and so they've sent me on a few jobs here, a few auditions and castings. And it's weird. I feel different doing it here than I did in the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, honestly, like I kind of felt like a big fish. And I was like, oh, yeah, I moved here from LA. Like I got this. But now like I'm going to these auditions and they're like cattle calls with all these people. And I feel like less confident, I guess, about booking. But part of it, it's not me feeling like less about myself. I just feel like my perspective is and ambition is shifting a little bit. Like I feel like, okay, I've given that chapter in my 20s and I can feel good about it. So I'm like really excited to see where I go next.
Normal, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you go about booking an agent in San Diego?
So I've had that San Diego agent since I was in college.
Okay.
And when I was working at NBC for those 2 years, I just kind of like booked out. I basically like took off. And then once I started going back to like part-time work, I went back to my agent and they have been really good. I have a long relationship and, you know, they still do some castings here in LA. But I actually booked another national commercial with them last month. It's for Best Western. So nice. Yeah, you guys will probably see that. Hopefully early next year. So it's another national, and we shot that in Oklahoma, which was so interesting. They flew us out there. Yeah, completely different in California, yeah, obviously.
I've never been.
Yeah, there's no reason to go.
What was it like? Like, did you shoot in a practical set, or was it like an actual hotel that you shot at?
So this is like random information for people to know, but Best Western is actually, I think, one of the largest, or the largest hotel chain of like in that realm, like the Holiday Inn, like that whatever division that they're in. And so now they're having three levels of Best Western. So they have like regular Best Western, and then they have Premier, and then they have the Best Western Plus. We had to make sure to say the Best Western, not Best Western Plus. And so the commercial was for Best Western, the Best Western Plus, and we shot at a new hotel that was in Oklahoma.
Oh, it's probably all like fancy and new and like shiny.
It was fancy and new and shiny, but the first night I went in there, so they put us in our hotel room. They put me in a first floor room, and I do not like being in a first floor hotel room. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
But I don't associate hotel rooms with being on the ground level. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, and I just feel like random people, like I don't know. I always just feel, especially when I'm by myself. I was traveling by myself. And anyway, so but I didn't want to say anything. I was like, okay, this is just, I'm playing a front desk agent. I can't be bougie and be like, can you move me to the top floor, please, with a view? So I was like, just suck it up, Anastasia. It's a few nights. So I go in there and the room is super nice. I'm like, okay, this is really nice for Best Western. And I go to the bathroom and I'm like, you know, sitting on the toilet, and I look over to my right, and it is the biggest spider I've ever seen in my, it was like bigger than my hand. It was so huge. Like I jumped up from the bathroom and started screaming. Like I couldn't even pull my pants up, and I had to run over to the phone, and I called the girl, and I was freaking out. And I had already started like taking some of my stuff out of my luggage. And I told her, I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, but there's the biggest spider I've ever seen in my entire life. And she started laughing at me. And I know she was probably thinking like, oh, this little California actress, like it's probably like just like a daddy long leg. And so she was like, okay, we can move you into another room. But like, I was expecting like the exterminator to like bust down the door and kill this, because I couldn't even walk. Like I was so freaked out by it. And they moved me into a second room. And the next day, one of the producers, I couldn't sleep. So that was the other thing. So they moved me into the second floor. And the next day I had like legit bags under my eyes because I couldn't sleep the entire night. I thought the spider was going to like come up like through the ceiling and eat me. And so they ended up like this. Okay. So the next day they ended up putting the producer in that room. He got in later than I did. And so he came up to me and he was like, hey, he's like, I got a funny story. He was like, last night I came in late, and they said that they only had one room left, but there was a spider in it. He was like, so I said, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll just kill it, which was so weird that they didn't kill the spider.
Yeah. Not a good sign.
Yeah. So he goes in the room and he's thinking, like, he told me, he's like, I thought it was gonna be like this tiny spider. But when he saw it, he was basically like, holy shit. Like this spider is freaking huge. And he had to take the garbage can and like turn the garbage can fully over to like scoop the spider. You couldn't kill the spider. It was so big. Like I would never want to kill the spider. But yeah, this was really scary. That was my whole experience of Oklahoma, and horrible food, terrible food. Oh, that's something else kind of interesting. So I stopped eating meat. I'm becoming so LA now.
I know, you're so Venice.
Yeah, so it was like really hard to eat food in Oklahoma.
I bet. Do you ever crave things though? Like a good steak?
I haven't yet. I told myself like I don't say vegan or vegetarian.
Okay.
Because I don't want people to start nitpicking what I eat. Like I love ramen, and if I go to ramen, I'll usually get like the chicken broth. Because I don't want the vegetarian broth.
Right.
And then I don't want someone to be like, oh, I thought you were vegan. So I haven't, but I gave myself permission that if I ever crave meat, then I can eat it. Like I'm not, so it's more for health than any of the other reasons that people do it.
Yeah. So you're not super strict, which is the way to be. I mean, you only live once. I mean,
totally.
You know, if you really want to go for it.
And I like
especially around the holidays. I'm yeah. How are you not tempted a little bit? But
yes,
I don't want to put that out there. If you're trying, I don't want to make it hard. I want to know more about the commercial though. Like, so you said you were there for a few days.
Yeah, so I was there for a few days. It was a full shoot. I was there for 3 days. One day was a fitting. It was only actually one day of shooting, and that shoot probably took 8 hours for one scene. And it's the commercials for the rewards program. So basically this front desk agent or this, you know, front desk customer comes up and I greet them. And then I say like, oh, are you a rewards member? It's like really cheesy.
It's like a 30-second commercial?
30 seconds.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
So we did it a few different ways. We ran a few different lines. So when I did the AT&T commercial, that was no lines. This one has lines. So it's like different in the acting world. People mm-hmm. know this. So it was 8 hours. The other actress is from LA also. She has a San Diego agent. And so we did the audition in San Diego. And then pretty quick turnaround. They took, I think, 2 weeks to book us. And then flew us out there. And then the next, what is interesting about the shoot though was, you know, they're showing this Best Western as if it's a resort. The next day was like storm weather. Like I thought maybe it was going to be like a tornado or something. And that day they were shooting the little kids by the pool. And the skies were completely gray. It was completely windy. And they had to bring like fake sun, basically, like this huge spotlight. And, you know, these kids had to pretend they were having like so much fun in the summertime. And they were freezing. So.
The magic of television.
Yes. I love
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
I love it. Yeah. I love being on set. That's the hardest part. That would be the hardest part for me to walk away from the whole acting, modeling, or entertainment world is I truly love being on set and in the mix. I just love it. Like, yeah. I love the creative environment, seeing the producer and the director and, you know,
yeah.
I love it.
What a story, though. If you've flown all the way out there. I think that's odd that they need the location. And it was a new hotel, so of course.
And cheaper to film, I think, in Oklahoma, too.
Oh, cheap. Oh, wow. Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
Yeah. So you were there for a whole day just for a fitting. Like, just for those who don't know, like, the process of it, just for, you know, for a 30-second ad, all that goes into that. I mean,
yeah.
3 days for 30 seconds.
Yeah, so
seconds.
For it's... Yeah, 30-second, there is a ton that goes into it that mm-hmm. I wasn't even really ready for. So from the very beginning, there's already there's an audition and then a callback. So I was still in the Bay Area when I did the initial audition, and I really didn't think I was going to get it. I filmed it in my garage, and I was like, there's no way. Like, you should always be in person to audition. And then I ended up getting a callback through that tape and audition that I sent in and almost messed up the callback. I had a horrible experience. And then got through the callback, and then you basically go through the waiting period where they're trying to figure out what actors they want to pair together. And the really crappy part was that my agent sent me a list of all the actors that they were considering. And it was so hard not to Google these girls and like try to compare myself and be like,
of course.
Okay, well, what are they looking for? Do they want, you know, like people are getting casted based on what they look like. So it's like, if they want someone that's African-American or this, or am I black enough, or am I Asian or whatever, mm-hmm. you know? So I tried not to. So there's already that process.
Oh my God. And so you didn't. I give you credit.
I didn't do it.
If there was a list of like, we're picking one out of these 10 podcasts, I think I would have to look them up.
I know. I didn't do
Good
it.
For
I
you just, though.
I know. So there's already all of that. And then once you book it, then, you know, they send you, you start working with like their producer to do like the travel arrangements. They flew me all the way to Oklahoma. One day was just all fitting. So they have their own wardrobe that they brought in from Texas. They brought in crew from Texas as well as LA and San Diego and Arizona. So it's like people coming for literally for 30 seconds. Okay. So yeah, we have the fitting day and they just have this huge wardrobe of all these different clothes and the hair and makeup person. And they have the other actors and background actors like coming in and out filtering. But that was an entire day. And then the next day, of course, you have rehearsal and run through, and then you have to film it, you know, from different angles. So yeah, it was a really long process. Wow. And then we did some still photos too, but for 30 seconds.
Pricey. And that's not even anything with buying ad space. That's right. Just to produce the ad.
And by the way, the hotel was still open when we were filming this. It was still open to guests. So there was, I mean, we were constantly having to cut because guests needed to come and check in from the room and we couldn't take away. We're filming at the front desk. And on top of that, there was a church youth retreat So we have all these kids that drove from like however many hours away from Oklahoma that are like, what is this Hollywood production? They came in vans. I think there's like 30 of them.
Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, so there was a lot going on that day.
I just imagined it was just about to open and they were going to use, this is why they picked that location, because they would just have everyone do it quick before it opens. Wow. Complicated.
Yeah. I mean, I've done.
Interesting, though.
I've done a few other commercials, too, where there aren't lines like before I left. And it's amazing when I finally see them air. I mean, we'll do 14-hour shoots and then I'll see myself for half a second. And I'm like, wow. Wow.
Wow.
So Hollywood's interesting.
It. Yeah. So what's next? If you could, would you keep doing these or do you want to go more modeling? What's next for you?
Well, health. I'm focusing on my health, of course.
Good.
But career-wise, I would say I am ready to – there's still – what I realized like in these last 2 years is there's still a lot of girl boss in me that, you know, wants to be a decision maker. And I'm still open to the opportunity of modeling and doing commercial work. I also did some acting classes while I was in the Bay Area, and it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of just juice out of you. And so I don't know if I have that in me anymore, but commercial work for me is fun. It's easy. You know, it's great money. So I'm still definitely open to that. If there's any casting people out there, you can look me up and cast me. Hosting, I'm still open to that, but I'm also ready to kind of get back into some work environment, like some type of creative something, hopefully in, you know, the travel industry, luxury travel, tech, any of those, maybe entertainment. It really depends on the job and who I'm working with.
Totally. Yeah.
So hopefully I'll have a good update for you and come back in a few months.
Yeah. Well, 2018 will be interesting to see where you go, what happens, what develops, you know?
Yeah.
Put a lot out in the universe. That's my advice. You know, some days when I was really low and just was like struggling, I would just do as much as I can to put out into the universe. And then I could say like, okay, I've sent a lot of messages. I've reached out, I've made meetings, I've done this. So at least I can just put a lot out into the world to feel like I've done something when I can't really do anything else to help myself. So, and it's saved me more times than not.
Yeah.
So
I know your journey is an inspiration for me. So I'm like thinking, because I remember
I'm still like, catching my breath.
Right. I remember you were, and you're like still going. And I'm like, okay. I got this.
Yeah.
I have good people around me too.
Totally. Yeah. So thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I'm so glad we get to catch up.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for having me.
Sounds great. Well, you guys can find Anastasia on these platforms.
Yes. I just changed my Instagram name. It's Instagram, Twitter, and my website. It's stayclassyanna.com. And at stayclassyanna, it's ANA.
Perfect. All right. Thank you for coming in so much and ranting with us. And we'll see more of you coming up in the future.
Yes.
There'll be more rants to come, and including, I can't forget, the holiday party, which is happening, or it's being recorded next week. It'll be available for everyone across the world to listen to on the 11th of December. And we're bringing back a ton of people who have been on the show this last year. We're going to be looking at Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop gift guide and a lot of Christmas mess along the way. So it's going to be a really fun show. Something to look forward to and something to plan on listening to while you prep for Christmas, the holidays, travel, whatever. So good stuff coming. I love you for listening. We'll be back with more rants.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants.
Cover art created by Howie Rone. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.